that's one of the things about religion that we have to remember when we're talking about that makes it such a hot topic issue is because we're talking about law. Who gets to be God? Who gets to be God's deputies? Who is the Most High? Who is the divine authority? It's all about the claim to the Most High. The only way that somebody can be higher than us is if we give away our power. Because there's nobody. We're all equal. But we're not equal in our knowledge. So ultimately, I think it does have to be a hierarchy, but it has to be a cooperative hierarchy, like a bee colony. It's about what our value system is, what we care about.
Hello, Hive Mind. Today is September 20th, 2021. I'm your host, Nate Kapp. Welcome to the 47th Cubbyhole Podcast, where important topics are unveiled, discussed, and tested. Our website is cubbyhole.com. That's cubbyhole.com. Thanks for joining. Hope everyone is doing okay and ready to take a deep sacred dive with me today. The topics I'll be sharing, if they're taken serious, I'm telling you, you'll see how aligned in nature you can become once these sacred sciences are understood and put into practice or action. These next two shows are going to be very jam-packed, and it's really only beneficial to listen if you're all caught up. So, you know, and I'm not shying anyone away from starting at the newer episodes, but it really won't do anyone any good or be of any real value if the episodes aren't observed and studied, especially in order. So, last week I introduced the topic of allegory, and I'm going to go much further today, along with a deeper voyage into esoteric Freemasonry, especially dealing with the first degree trestle board. So I'm going to go ahead and get right into the material. So make sure to follow along with the slides for today's show. They're under the episode 47 on the Cubbyhole website, the Cubbyhole podcast website. Now, to start off, I'm going to put a little finer point on allegory. So we have to understand why allegory is so important to study. We have to understand, we have to ask ourselves, what does it reveal to us that is so important? And how do we apply our knowledge of allegory with relation to the real world, the themes of the real world and consciousness? So first, allegory is like an extended metaphor where aspects of a narrative are used to covertly broadcast wider and deeper messages about issues in the real world. It's when a piece of visual or narrative media uses something to stand in for a different hidden meaning or idea. And this is done through stories, poems, or pictures that can be interpreted to reveal a hidden meaning, typically a moral or political one, or a spiritual one. An allegory is kind of like two stories in one. One side of the story will be literal, where you'll see the characters, you'll see the obvious things happening, you'll see the plot, and the storyline can be either realistic or fantastical. And then the other side of the story, or underlining hidden part of the story, is within the character and the obvious things within the structure of the story. This underlying idea or hidden idea can carry a moral or political message to the subconscious. And what I'm trying to teach and share on the Cubbyhole is how we become conscious of these messages. And I'm in no way saying I can, you know, magically get anyone to see allegorically. And, you know, obviously I wish that was that easy, but if anyone is truly paying attention, then they'll at the very least pick up on the sciences that help navigate the stories and symbols and pictures consciously, to be able to read allegorical language consciously, because it's the sciences, it's especially the esoteric sciences that help us see the beauty of allegory. It's a reflection. That's what allegory is. It's a reflection of the self. It's a reflection of the aspects of aggregate consciousness. The reflections of the, you know, macro and microcosm. It's a creative way that we express the inner self, the inner sciences of the self. So how do we identify allegory? How do we know we're looking at an allegory, or how do we truly look for an allegory? Well, in a simple way, it's about turning the mind into a kind of symbolic radar. It's about seeing dualistically, or, you know, in a parallel type of way. So when we notice people, places, things, and events, rather than just seeing the obvious and literal side of those things, we can look with a symbolic perspective. So, for instance, if it's a movie we're watching, we watch it with the thought in mind that what we're observing isn't solely the exoteric or basic literal story. And of course, we can, you know, we can see that. We can definitely see the literal story. But when someone begins to look at the characters and storyline symbolically, then something deeper can become more revealed and more evident. Something more profound can reveal itself by the mind making the connection. And just by understanding the principle of mentalism, we can see that all movies first had to start in the mind. They were generated from the mind. They are expressed from the mind. Most movies have the same principles, you know, being like beginning, middle, and end. Heroes, villains, you know, the moral of the story. And if we pay attention to those principles, we can use the key principle of correspondence to see what many movies are saying symbolically or allegorically. We can see the underlying message. And an example would be like a movie of a man and woman joining their worlds together in some kind of marriage. Well, if we understand consciousness regarding our sacred masculine left brain and our sacred feminine right brain, and understanding the alchemical wedding of the two, the sacred union or marriage of the two, once we understand this science, then we become conscious of what we are seeing in many movies that have a wedding of male and female. And of course, many times it's not so obvious. A couple of great allegorical movies that come to mind are The Money Pit with Tom Hanks, which is a really solid allegorical movie with a literal and symbolic wedding. If you're familiar with the Masonic science, you'll definitely see it. It's filled with Masonic symbolism. You know, it's kind of vague, but it's there. And I mean, honestly, any great movie has Masonic symbolism. And the other marriage allegory that comes to mind is more in the sci-fi symbolic realm, which is in the trilogy of The Matrix, especially the second movie with the sacred marriage of Neo reviving Trinity after she was shot in the heart. The part where she's falling from the building. And that's a deeper and more detailed marriage allegory, which I'll be also breaking down in when Brandon and I break down The Matrix. And I'll also be breaking down marriage as well on its own. So definitely watch out for both of those. So first, we have to understand the science of self. And I'm going to begin to share that esoteric science shortly. So looking at the etymology of allegory, we see it comes from the Greek allos, meaning other, and agoria, meaning speaking. So to say something different, that is to say something where the language is one thing and the true meaning is another, which exactly expresses the character of an allegory. And it is said, and I would corroborate, that there is no essential difference between allegory and symbol other than their character. In figurative language, we describe one thing by relating it to another. And the two most common words to describe those two things being compared are metaphorical vehicles and tenors. The tenor is the thing that is being described, basically the hidden concept or idea, and the vehicle is the figurative language, which is the word, the image or narrative used to describe the tenor. An example would be the representations of the characters in The Matrix, where the tenors would be thoughts, emotions, and actions, and the vehicles would be Morpheus, Trinity, and Neo. Okay, so Morpheus representing thoughts, Trinity representing emotions, and Neo representing actions, all representations or aspects of the self. Okay, so they are the vehicles of the tenor. The tenor is the hidden and discoverable idea behind or in the vehicle. Okay, so let me say that again. So they are the vehicles of the tenor. Okay, the characters are the vehicles of the thoughts, emotions, and actions, which is the tenor. The tenor is the hidden and discoverable idea behind or in the vehicle. Okay? And another movie that I feel really, really does an excellent job at showing this concept is the animated movie Inside Out. It's an animated movie. It's a, you know, cartoon type of movie, but it really does a good job at expressing this in a very literal way, not just a symbolic or allegorical way. So it's really, you know, it's almost like if you watch that movie first and then watch The Matrix, it might be a little easier to understand The Matrix. So I feel like it's more or less covert than The Matrix. And as I said on the last show, when it comes to interpretations, we can't expect to know what's deeply being said in many stories if we lack knowledge of self, especially lacking the mysteries of the self. If we lack the mysteries and the occult sciences, then we mostly only receive the basic exoteric meaning, you know, the outside basic meaning, you know, and not just in movies. We have to be careful or we'll miss out on some really revealingly beautiful and dark messages. Beautiful in the sense of learning something that helps us grow and become inspired, and dark because it's mostly feeding propaganda into our minds that can cause confusion and division and hopelessness. And this is the result of mind control. This is just another reason why allegory is so important to know and understand. Because, you know, if we don't know this type of information, then we can't really see how the dark occult, we can't really see how the sorcerers of this world are putting blinders over our eyes and just hoping that we stay entertained. Okay? So as I move forward into esoteric Freemasonry, I'll be explaining more about allegory. We have to understand that we can't truly understand allegory deeply without knowing the science of craft masonry. Okay? We can't truly understand esoteric Freemasonry or craft masonry and allegory without understanding morality and natural law. Okay, we're going to take a short musical art break and we'll see you on the other side. That was a song called All in the Mind by my pops, Ryan Swisher, from the band Resin. Some really resonating lyrics there with this show. And yes, the keys to the hidden realm of the undefined are all in the mind. And here on the Cubbyhole, we are unveiling many keys of the knowledge that helps unlock and discover the hidden realm. And the hidden realm is really where truth is discovered. It's a personal discovery. And on that note, I just want to make it clear that as long as us humans stay ignorant to the science of Freemasonry, we stay ignorant to truth. It's really that simple and that clear. And sadly, too many people have been duped into demonizing this spiritual craft, this sacred science. They're on a witch hunt rather than on a hunt for truth. Now, we covered a bit of the first degree trestle board back in show number 42, where Brandon and I give a basic breakdown of the symbolism in relation to the hemispheres of the brain, of the human brain and consciousness. Plus, we covered some important terms that we should all familiarize ourselves with, including degree, Freemasons, speculative, operative, and Freemasonry. What it is and what it is not. So today, I'm going to expand on that image with more depth and, you know, try to put a finer point on the symbols. I'm actually going to explain some of what we already covered, but with way more definition. And it's really important that we really take this science serious if we want to further our education of self and understand a language towards real freedom, essentially. Plus, I'm prepping us for deeper allegorical breakdowns and understandings as we move forward into the next shows. And I want everyone to remember that Freemasonry itself is simply a system of morality veiled in allegory and illustrated by symbols. And keep in mind that Freemasonry is an extremely vast study. What I'm sharing here is what I feel to be closest to what's most important to look into. You know, obviously there's a lot more to it, but, and we're going to get into that. Just count on what I share to be mostly dealing with craft masonry, esoteric Freemasonry, okay? There's much we're going to share here regarding this topic, but I highly recommend anyone listening to further their studies beyond what is heard on this show, you know, because that's what's going to help anyone really appreciate and understand what is being shared on these shows and in these sciences, respectfully, okay? The science of Freemasonry traces back its roots to the dawn of the Egyptian mysteries and is at the center of all the mystery traditions, okay? So let's begin with the Entered Apprentice. So make sure you're following along with the slide with the three pillars on show 47 at the bottom. This is a really beautiful allegorical piece of art by Josiah Boring. And he painted the next degrees I'll be sharing in the next episodes, which are Passed and Raised. So three degrees. Entered, Passed, and Raised, or the proper names of the first three degrees are Entered Apprentice, Fellow Craft, and then the third degree, which is Master Mason. And keep in mind that anything three is associated with being spiritual. And if we pay close attention, we'll understand why that is. I'll also be breaking down some symbolism on other trestle boards as we move through these next episodes, okay? So, right now, we are looking at, or into, this symbolic mirror, the Entered Apprentice, also known as the Temple of Solomon, or Solomon's Temple. And Solomon is sun and moon, sol o mon, solar and lunar. Also, the three O's in the word Solomon create the Trinity or Triquetra symbol. And this symbolic esoteric mirror helps the serious student discover an intelligent communication or connection with the divine or creator aspect. And here is where all Hermetic principles can be used and recognized, how they can be practiced with, okay? So the Entered Apprentice degree corresponds to the subterranean chamber, the reptilian brain, or the R-complex part of the brain. And this is spiritually the symbolic temple within you. It's an allegorical representation of you. And if one deeply studies this trestle board, then a timeless bridge to the ancient past will emerge as it gives the student the keys to unlocking many important mysteries that history alone cannot reveal about us. Okay? And that's really, really, really important to understand. And this is what so many Egyptologists and anthropologists are missing in their work regarding the Egyptian pyramids. They're missing the why as to the real reason for the building of what's known as the greatest temple ever built, the Great Pyramids. So this mirror helps us answer questions that history cannot, because it's timeless. It's a sacred science aligned in nature, just as the Great Pyramids of Giza are. So this sacred science symbolically holds the direction of consciousness. It's a type of guide to help us become more balanced in nature. It helps us understand natural law and the governing hermetic principles. Okay? This image is a symbol of symbolism. It's an encyclopedia of the self. Each symbol relates and corresponds to an aspect of self. And I believe that creating an image of material things like ladders and pillars and rugs, structured in a particular way, rather than just someone's literal head and brain, is because symbols help put consciousness into perspective. Okay, that's so important that we understand that. We have to understand that symbols help put consciousness into perspective, so that way we see a bigger picture of ourselves. And consciousness is, you know, it's important to understand that consciousness is not limited to the human brain. These symbols and their positioning are carefully discovered measurements of the structure of consciousness. So, with knowledge brought to each symbol, we can draw out from ourselves a background or subconscious power to know and understand what has not been advanced in a factual or objective way. Okay? Each symbol awaits the higher knowledge we bring to it in order to reveal aspects about ourselves or become conscious of our temple and what condition it's in. Okay? That's what's so important, is like the more that we study this trestle board, the more we understand our condition, the more we understand where we're at consciously. And as we become knowledgeable of these symbols and how they correspond to aspects of consciousness, then we start to see just how ignorant we truly are. And that's a good thing, okay? It's the same as saying, the more we know, the more we know just how much we don't know. But not to, you know, sound discouraging, because obviously the more we know about ourselves, the closer to truth we get and the closer to source we get, right? And to me, that's really what true living is. That's what being alive truly means. It's about true care. And the way I see it is, life is symbolic in nature, and we are unique human symbols decoding life symbolically the best way we know how. And this trestle board is a type of mathematical science that we should be fortunate for in that regard, because our ancient and modern operative and speculative brothers have passed this sacred science down for progeny and posterity to help us discover ourselves and our sovereignty, right? Okay, so looking at this trestle board, we see the checkerboard floor, which holds the geometer's tools, right? It holds the pillars and the ashlars. So this floor is so important to understand because it's, you know, the foundation. This floor is where the groundwork needs to be done in order to begin the climb, you know, up the ladder or begin the real journey towards enlightenment. And that's what it means. You know, the groundwork, meaning assembling grammar and learning the necessary tools to take on our unique journey. You know, they're also likened to a type of spiritual armor. And this Masonic pavement, you know, on the this floor is the base material aspect of the self. It represents base consciousness. So each black and white square represents light and dark, or truth and ignorance. And light meaning truth and dark meaning ignorance. And as we start out in base consciousness, it can be really hard to know the difference between truth and falsehoods, right? It can be really hard to know the objective difference between right and wrong, between, you know, right action and wrong action, or right behavior and wrong behavior. And this is symbolic of the confusion one can have regarding moral law. And then looking at the W below the floor is what's known as a cardinal point that represents the direction of darkness and ignorance and materialism. So within speculative masonry, it is said that during the advancement of a Mason meant traveling from west to east in search of light. And that's the goal. Because with knowledge or light comes freedom, sovereignty, right? So we have to pay attention to the directions here. The directions correspond to our brain hemispheres. They also correspond to the earth hemispheres and the degrees in consciousness. So it's about the fact that there truly is a right and wrong direction. Are we going to allow ourselves to be directed in the silent W wrong way, or in the right moral direction way? You know, okay, so we have to see this trestle board as a directional moral compass, right? And if we're going W wrong way, you know, on the if we're going in the direction of the W, we're going in the wrong direction. And if we're going towards enlightenment, towards the light, then we're going in the right direction because we're becoming more knowledgeable, we're becoming more enlightened. And that is the east. We're going east to go in the right direction. Now, I'm going to break down the pillars later, but it's good to keep in mind that the left pillar equates to the sacred masculine part of ourselves, the sacred masculine energy, and then the right pillar equates to the sacred feminine energy of ourselves and the universe. So the sacred masculine energy reflects the left brain hemisphere, and the sacred feminine reflects the right brain hemisphere. So looking at the jewels or tools on the checkerboard floor of this spiritual lodge, we see the first tool on the left resting on the left pillar. This tool is called the level. And the level is a symbol of equality under immutable law or natural law, not to be mistaken with the social equality. And it's at the base of the left pillar, the masculine pillar. And this level is about keeping our actions balanced. Okay, it's about keeping our sacred masculine actions balanced. And onto the right pillar, the jewel that is resting on the right sacred feminine pillar is what's called the plumb rule. And this narrow board with a plumb line suspended from its top is one of the working tools symbolizing rectitude or morally correct behavior and straightness. It's about keeping our behaviors erect. You know, it's about keeping our emotions upright through our behavior. So that is really, really important that we understand these two symbols, the level and the plum rule. And on over to the middle pillar, we see the other tool or piece of furniture called the square, which is also resting upward on the pillar, on the middle pillar. This symbol is one of the most important and significant symbols in Freemasonry. It represents the place of the self where we act rightly and justly and truthfully. So the square pointing upward on the middle pillar means overcoming base desires, you know, coming out of base or beast consciousness and beginning to consciously align to moral law, or, you know, it's about ascending from materialism. But the compass or spirit principle is still on the floor under the square, which means one is going in the right direction, but still needs to go further in the work to understand morality objectively. So, and also keep in mind the golden color of the tools on the ground, the level, the plum, and the square. These are very important and necessary forms of light that we'll need to be able to read and see in the dark as we continue on the path, okay? And by read and see, I mean read and see in the dark as in preparing ourselves with knowledge so we can overcome our darkness and ignorance where we remain confused and asleep. And to the left and right of the square, slightly behind the middle pillar, we see two cube-shaped symbols, and these are what's known as ashlars. The one on the left is a rough ashlar. It's in a natural shape, unformed and unpolished, representing man in his or her natural state of ignorance and uncultivated. But when education has bared its beneficial influence in expanding his or her intellect while restraining, you know, base passions and purifying life, he or she then is presented by the perfect ashlar, which we see on the right, which under the skillful hands of the workman, the ashlar is smoothed out and hewed. It's squared off and fitted and adjusted to a perfection in the form of a perfect ashlar, or, you know, perfect cube. And some of the tools used to carve this ashlar are the common gavel and 24-inch gauge. The common gavel is one of the working tools of an entered apprentice. Its use is to break off the corners of the rough ashlar to better the builder's use, to admonish or warn us of the duty of disposing our minds and consciences of all the vices and impurities of life by fitting and adjusting our bodies as living stones for that spiritual building not made by our actual hands. Okay, that's really important. We have to understand that this is all about spiritual building. It's not about the physical building with our actual hands. Our physical hands. It's about purifying the heart. It's about, you know, it borrows its name from its shape, being that of the gavel or gavel end of a house. And this word common gavel comes from the German Gipfel, which means a summit or a top or peak, which is the idea of a pointed extremity being common to all. And the true form of the common gavel is that of the stonemason's hammer. It is assembled with a cutting edge, as in the engraving, in which it should be used to break off the corners of rough stones. Corners on a rough stone, meaning the shape we've been molded into. And this is an operation that can't be affected or chiseled out by the common hammer or mallet. So when looked over the top, the exact representation of the common gavel or gabble corresponds to the end of the house, where it looks triangular, right? So looking at the part of the house that looks like a square with a triangle on top, that's really important that we recognize that shape, okay? So square with triangle on top. And also keep in mind that the gavel of the master is called a hierom. And then there's the 24-inch gauge, the long piece resting up on the rough ashlar back there between the left and middle pillar. A very important tool for perfecting the ashlar. This tool corresponds to the 24 hours in a day, which is divided into three parts. And remember, three being the spiritual number, okay? So 8 hours devoted to the usual vocation or occupation, you know, the work, the regular labor, and then 8 hours to refreshments and sleep, and then 8 hours, you know, working on the self and service to the Creator. So it's a measurement of time well spent. It's a symbol of spiritual currency, right? And here's a quote that I really like that kind of represents this. And it goes, "Man cannot remake himself without suffering, for he is both the marble and the sculptor." Because it is when suffering is recognized that we begin to work on ourselves, you know, to sculpt ourselves out from the marble that is not us, aka what we've been conditioned to be, which causes suffering. And before we go any further, we see a board with a drawing of a layout of this temple, of this lodge, this sacred lodge. That's a rough sketch of a tracing board, the beginning stages. It's where the student is taking notes and piecing the puzzle of life together, of the self, right? And just behind the right sacred feminine pillar under the book is what's called the point within the circle or dot within the circle. And this represents many things, including the alchemical process, balance, and the sun. But here it is on the grounds and representation of becoming aware of ego and overcoming it to be able to begin the journey up the ladder, you know, to realize like, you know, this isn't all about you and that you're not the center of the universe, but that you need to find your center. This is right below the open book with the square and compass on the top. These are the three greater lights, or what's known as the three pieces of furniture in the lodge. Okay. Allegorically, this is about beginning the journey and being able to read literally and symbolically, especially being able to openly study the religious doctrines like the Bible and the Torah and the Quran. It's about comparative religion, learning how to, you know, discover truth from falsehood. And it's about learning the foundations and the similarities of all major doctrines. The book equals knowledge, which is at the foot of the ladder, what's known as Jacob's ladder. And this symbolically means having the knowledge and the understanding and the wisdom to begin to unlock the mysteries, to begin to climb up the mountain, so to speak. We have to have a strong foundation before going up that ladder. And that's not to sound discouraging, because the truth is we can go up that ladder without knowing enough knowledge, as long as we learn what we need in order to, you know, go back down that ladder and search for truth, or in search for the knowledge that we need to go back up. And sometimes we have to go back down on the pavement or floor to research and gain the knowledge we need to bring to the higher echelons, to the higher rungs on the ladder. See, because it's about bringing knowledge to the information in order to reveal that which we seek. And when we are serious in our work, in our research, we will be prepared when coming in contact with the very information that needs the keys of what we know in order to unlock the answers that we are in search for. Okay, let me say that again. And when we are serious in our work, in our research, we will be prepared when coming in contact with the very information that needs the keys of what we know in order to unlock the answers that we are in search for. And, you know, that's equivalent to the aha magic of it, right? And that's a really powerful thing to wake up to. Now, what does the ladder represent? All right, I think I'm going to leave you guys with a little cliffhanger right there. I'll definitely begin this climb on the next episode with much more breakdowns regarding this trestle board. So make sure to tune into the next show for a deeper dive into this information, into this trestle board. Okay, guys, hope you've gained something awesome and beneficial today. More shows, presentations, and news can be found at cubbyhole.com. That's CubbyHole.com. Also, please make sure to keep your eyes out for the next shows where I'll be going further into allegory and Freemasonry. And possibly the next show might be Brandon and I breaking down the Matrix. I'm still not sure yet. So it's going to be either or. Either way, I'm going to get into the deeper aspects of the trestle board. So if you have any questions regarding the topics for these shows, please email us at cubbyhole@mail.com. Also, any donations are always appreciated, as anything that's given goes directly to the Cubbyhole website. Just hit the donation button on the website at the top, and it's set up pretty easy to navigate from there. And thanks so much to those who have donated so far. Okay, I'm your host, Nate Kapp. Thanks for listening, and keep in mind to do no harm, defend truth, and keep transcending dogma.